Morning, Boker Tov. Today's daf is Yevamos daf Ayin Beis. Yevamos Ayin Beis. We left off on Ayin Aleph Amud Beis. Amar Rav Yitzchak. Just to, again, we're continuing in Perek Arul, of course, the topic of Arelim. We'll speak a lot today about Tumtum as well, and we're continuing in a conversation about what an Arul cannot do. We had just left off of the Gemara about an Arul being able to be mekabel the hazah of the paradum waters. The Arul is mekabel hazah. Why? Because in the midbar, when Kaiso got out of the midbar in Yeshua, when they got out of the midbar, they arrived on the shores on the 10th of Nisan. They had to have hazah that day, but they were too tired. They're too weak from travel to have a mila yet. And we know in the midbar they hadn't had a mila. They're too weak from travel to have a mila, and they had to have hazah that day in order to eat the Karban Pesach. We know they did the Karban Pesach. The Gemara says we know they did the Karban Pesach that year. So it must be that they had hazah even though they're still arelim, and they only did mila afterwards. Obviously, they had the mila before Pesach, being able to eat the Karban Pesach. But in order to have the hazah, an arul is still able to have hazah. So on these types of discussions, tomorrow we'll come back to that and say, how do we know in the midbar that they didn't do mila? It's all based on a premise. They didn't do mila in midbar. Tomorrow we'll come back to that in a few lines. But the Gemara first has a different brief conversation about mila regarding the mitzvah of priya. We know when a baby is gemaled, we do two things. There's the arelos, the foreskin that we're familiar with, that gets removed, it gets cut off. But then separately, there's another membrane of skin that covers the crown that gets pulled down. It gets pulled down that it should expose, the crown should be exposed. That's called priya. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Bar Yitzchak, Amar Rav, Leinina priya, priyas mila lavraminu. The mitzvah of priya was actually not given to Avraminu. Shenemar, Beisahi Amar Hashem el Yeshua, Asilcha Charbeis Surim. We'll read the end of the pasuk because it's very, very key. Charbeis Surim v'shuv, and again, Molas Bnei Yisrael Sheinus a second time. So it says that you should make for yourself these like sharp apparatuses, and then again, go back and give a mila to Klai Yisrael a second time. Now, what are you doing a second mila? That means because the first mila was to get rid of the general arelus, the foreskin, and the second one is coming to do the priya to expose this little membrane that covers, as well as pull down to expose the atarik, to expose the crown. So we see that there's a tzivu over there by Yeshua. So it's funny, we say it wasn't mitzvah to Avinu. It really wasn't even, sounds like at this point, it wasn't given over to Klal Yisrael B'chlal, even at our Sinai, only till Yeshua, which we'll get to in a minute, is the Chayra Akasha. There's also no such thing as a mitzvah coming after Matan Torah, so we'll get back to that in a minute. But it seems like the mitzvah is given over to Dafka by Yeshua. Says the Gemara, not so fast. Maybe this Mila was talking about the Bnei Yisrael that didn't get a Mila yet B'chlal. Maybe that's what it's referring to. All the people that came out of Mitzrayim were already gemaled. But the people in the Midbar didn't get a chance, didn't get a Mila, which again we're going to focus on. How we know people in the Midbar, how we know they didn't have a Mila, we'll focus on shortly. Why didn't they have a Mila? We'll focus on all that in a couple lines. But the point is, maybe it's those who didn't get a Mila Bechlal, they're the ones getting a Mila now. But those who already had a Mila were not getting a second Mila. There's no din. Where's their right to Friya? Says the Gemara, if you read the Pasuk, it's pretty clear. M.K. My Shuv. The Lashon was Vishuv, and again, go back, and Mal Bnei Yisrael. It says Vishuv, that means Mashma, second Mila, not Stam, that you're doing a Mila to those who hadn't had a Mila. It sounds like it's given to even those who had a Mila already, were getting, so to speak, a second Mila. Elav the Friya, it must be, it's referring to Priya. So again, Taisus asks, that, very nice. You tell me that the mitzvah Priya must have been given by Yeshua. But we know that the Chayra, you cannot be Mechadish, a mitzvah, it's certainly a Navi, and the Navi cannot be Mechadish. The Torah cannot be mechadish a new mitzvah in Navi. Navi could be a gila milsa, could be elaborate, but it can't be a new mitzvah. So Tosfos answers, Enachami, it must be there was halach l'moshe m'Sinai. It was given over orally by our Sinai, the idea of Priya, and Yeshua put it into the pasuk over here. So it said it was given to Yeshua, so to speak, because now is the first time it was given over clearly in the pasuk. But there's a chiddush over here. There's a discussion. It was given over by our Sinai, and it started then already? Or no, it was given over Sinai orally that there was going to be a mitzvah that takes effect when they get to Israel in time to Yeshua. That seems to be the halacha of the Pershim, that not only was it just given over halacha Mishra Sinai by Mount Torah, and now it's clear in the Pasuk, the start time of this mitzvah Priya attack only started when they got, after Midbar, when they got, it took effect only when they got into Eretz Yisrael. That seems to be the preferred malach in the Rishayim. Okay, but again, the point is it wasn't mechadish by Yeshua. Either way, it was existed with Lech L'Mashiach M'Sinai. Ask the Gemara one second. Same way, darshini v'shuv. What do you do about the word sheinus? My Shainus, what's Shainus telling me? Lakushi, a second time, what's that telling me? Lakushi says, Mila, Tchiz Mia, Mila, it's comparing the end of Mila, name we're calling the Fria, we're comparing it to the beginning of Mila, Matchilas Mia, Makeves, Afseif Mila, Makmai. Just like the Tchila of Mila, the beginning of Mila, so to speak, when we talk about the getting rid of the Arielus itself, is clearly Makev. So too, when it comes to getting rid of the Priya, the membrane also is Makev. Zitnan, we learned in a mission in Shabbos, Kuf, Lam, and Zion, this idea, what we've had in the past, if it sounds familiar, about Priya, Elu, and about the din of completely exposing that Torah, Elu heina tzitzin amakras mila. These are the tzitzin that amakras the mila. The lashon, by the way, that we had back in Shabbos Kufam Zayin, the quote over here, the lashon that we had back in Shabbos Kufam Zayin is, mol v'le para esamila ki ilo mol. One who did mila without priya, it's as if he didn't do mila. That's the Gemara Shabbos on that same daf over there. We have this mishnah on Kufam Zayin. Okay, but over here, the Gemara quotes the mishnah says that these are the tzitzin that amakras amila. Basar achifah es reva tara. The basar, the flesh that covers reva of the crown. Ve'ein eichel juma, and one who didn't have a mila that exposed the entire crown. If there's some skin that covers the crown, he would not be able to eat. Truma is not considered a valid mila. He has the status of an arul, and like we had the first words in this parak, an arul is not allowed, even an arul kain, of course, an arul kain is not allowed to eat truma. Amra vina, mitem rav, yirmi ba'aba, amarav, basa chayfes, rav gaiva atara. When we say it's talking about the basa that covers rav of the atara, it means the bust that covers rave of the larger part of the height of that Torah. Meaning, don't think it has to be in order to be an issue. It's bust that covers rave of the crown itself, but rather it's bust that covers rave of the part where the Torah gets high. The discussion what that means. Does it mean like the narrow part at the very top, or does it mean where it starts? That's the widest part. That's the widest part of the crown where it starts, and a little bit of bust that covers that part, which is the represents a rave. That alone is enough. The point is, even a minimal amount of skin going around the circumference of the atara will disallow this person as arielist from eating, from partaking in truma. Okay, so now we said, in the midbar they didn't do mila. Ask the Gemara. Uba midbar my time lema. Why in the midbar did they not do mila? Ibeis ema mishum chol shadurcha. The reason they do mila in the midbar is either because chol shadurcha, meaning because they are traveling, and because they're traveling, they were weak and they couldn't do mila. The Ritva actually elaborates more. One time they were traveling, it was al pi Hashem yisu, al pi Hashem yachanu. It was based on the commandment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They would travel and they would rest. They never knew when the next time they're traveling was going to be. So they never knew when they were going to have enough time to rest, to recuperate from mila. That's part of the issue. It wasn't time they were traveling. They also never knew when it was going to be. The Ritva uses this to answer Kasha. That Moshe Rabbeinu was traveling with his sons, and we know the snake came up to his, when Moshe Rabbeinu was in trouble, the snake came up to Moshe Rabbeinu's waist from the bottom, from his feet, and then from the top to demonstrate to his brother. The reason why he's in trouble, the reason why he's being punished is because he didn't do a mila to his sons. Now he was traveling over there. He was traveling over there, so why not the same leniency? Mishum urcha, mishum chush urcha, he didn't want to do a mila to his sons. Says the Ritva, because Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't traveling up Pi Hashem, he saw Pi Hashem Yachar, meaning he was heading back, but it wasn't a specific time frame that he had to head back this minute, and it wasn't unknown if he al mitzvah mila, that would have been grounds for him to do a mila and just stay put, stay where he was. So he didn't have this leniency of a Pi Hashem Yisov, a Pi Hashem Yachanu, this unknown of not just that he's traveling, also when the traveling is going to be to budget for giving enough time before or after in order to mila. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu, it was a taina as opposed to Klai Yisrael, Chol Shud Urcha was reason enough why they couldn't do mila. That's one reason. You might say on the top of Ayin Beis Min Aleph, or you could say,
if Priya was not a mitzvah till Shas Yeshua, really, did they do Priya before? Because then, if not, that's why they didn't eat from the carbon Pesach. Because they hadn't done Priya.
No, but the Chayra, if there was no obligation to do Priya, then it wouldn't be an issue. What you're getting involved with is the Baram Tesis. What you're getting involved with is Baram Tesis. Were they able to eat Basa Kachim, with the Abati Basa Taiva, that's the Baam Taisa discusses, if they were missing in this test. But they weren't, but it's really more than that, because in the Midbar itself, really, I was going to get back to this in a minute, but I'm glad you brought up now already, there's really discussion. Our Gemara clearly seems to be saying they didn't do Mila B'chlal. You're focusing on the Priya part, which only started by Yeshua. And the idea is, till the mitzvah was Mechuyiv, there wouldn't be an issue. Till the mitzvah came into effect, that wouldn't be an issue. But we're saying in our Sugya very clearly that in the Midbar then do Mila B'chlal. So that alone would be the reason why they wouldn't be able to potentially partake in Kachem or not. And that's the bottom taste of the discussion. Could they partake in Kachem, close by there in the Midbar without the Mila? That's the bottom taste. But the taste before that,
the taste, 90% had already been mauled in Mitzrayim.
The ones that were already born in Mitzrayim, correct. Now, the taste before that addresses that it's not so pashit that they didn't have mila. I mean, Agama is taking for granted that in the midbar didn't have mila. Taisa says it's almost like a kasha, but Taisa leaves a shver, which is really more of Taisa's way of saying it's a machlekes. Machlekes is a sukkis. Our Gemara clearly seems to say that the midbar didn't have mila, and we're going through the reasons, either chulsha, they're tired from travel, or as we're about to say on top of the Amid, because there's a certain wind, a northern wind, that used to help people heal, and it didn't blow while in the midbar. We'll get back to that in a second. But Taisa brings from Pirkei Rabbi very clearly, Pirkei Rabbi says that Mimana Afriyakov is referring to that they saw the all the foreskins that was in the midbar of Kaisol's Arlis. That's what it's referred to when he gave the Parshas Balak over there. When he says Mimana Afriyakov, it's referring to who could count the praise of Kaisol, all the foreskins in the midbar. It obviously clearly means in the midbar there was many milas taking place, that who can count the foreskins. And then further Taisa brings from Megillah Sesarim of Rabbeinu Nissim, who also brings the discussion Shemashma Shemalu Vileparo. They did Mila and just not Priya in the midbar. When it says the Chsiv, and the second about Daisvis, the Chsivahu, Kla'isan Abraham Shana, Shu Sova Midr, Lohu, Purin, Mebay, Ina Derech. That when they're in the Midbar, they didn't do Priya. So that already gets close to Agamara, and maybe to Liza, what you're bringing up about the Priya Makav, that we're calling it, they didn't do Priya, but not that they didn't do Mila. Mila itself was done. But Taisa seems to just be saying that Agamara, which says Mila wasn't done, is clearly at odds. Machlaikis with this Megillus Rabbeinu Nissim and Pirkei Derablezer. But again, in the Megillus Rabbeinu Nissim, maybe you have a little bit of a connection between what you're saying, that the Mila was done without the Priya, maybe that was the Ikav that we're referring to. Okay. Says the Gemara of Ibrahim Sam again, the second reason why Mila wasn't done, we know with the simple reading of our Gemara, that the Mila wasn't done either because they were weak from travel or because Tapadam and Mishim Lanashim Ruach Tzifainis, because the northern wind didn't blow. Titania, Kleisar Abram Shadashay, so Midbar, all 40 years of Kleisar was the Midbar, Lanashim Ruach Tzifainis, the northern wind didn't blow, and the northern wind is a wind that blows by day, which causes the sun, which is helps people heal, because the powers, the benefits of the sun to shine on the people, and that wind didn't blow, which took away the ability for people to have this refuah from the sun, and therefore the Dumila. My time, why did the northern wind not blow? Two reasons. Ibe Samish and Zufinayu is either it's because Taiso was being Zufin, they were the Akash Baruch was upset with Klai Yisrael. Vibay Seima, we'll explain why in a second. Vibay Seima Leinivdar Ananya Kavod, or because the Ananya Kavod would protect Klai Yisrael, the northern wind didn't blow so as not to disperse the Ananya Kavod that were protecting Klai Yisrael. Ask the Ritzvah, Kadosh Baruch Hu can't make the wind blow from the northern wind and not disperse the Ananya Kavod. He can't orchestrate the traffic. That shouldn't be a problem. So he actually connects to the famous idea about the wind not blowing to mess up the pillar of smoke in the base of Migdash that went straight up. The wind didn't blow to cause it to go to the sides. He connects the same thing. So you have an idea the wind didn't blow in that area, but the wind over there, the wind did blow. It just avoided that area by the base of Migdash. So here too, let it just avoid Ananek Kavod. Ritva says a very interesting chiddush. Perhaps Klai Yisrael wasn't meritorious enough to have both those nisim. Ananek Kavod nis, they're meritorious to have. And the fact that the wind should have blown away that Ananek Kavod, they're meritorious to have too. But the fact that the wind should blow and not blow away Ananek Kavod, that was already... Everything is measured. That was already above the Madriga of Nais that Klai Yisrael was warranting at that time, and therefore it didn't happen. As I said, like, okay, fine. So the first reason was the Kadosh Baruch Hu was angry, and therefore the northern wind didn't blow. Second reason is because it didn't want it to cause to disperse that Ananya Kavod. So why was the Kadosh Baruch Hu angry? So Rashi brings Kadosh Baruch Hu was angry because the eagle said the always the go to that when Klai Yisrael's biggest chait in history, we call it the old time chait, is the eagle. The eagle. So Kadosh Baruch Hu was upset because the eagle. Tais is bothered that we say in the pasuk Salachti Kidverecha. Kadosh Baruch Hu already says, I forgave you, I forgave them, Kidverech, like your words, right? So when there was Mishkan, so what do you mean that Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't blow the northern wind at that point because of the eagle still? Therefore, he says it was also the chait of the Meraglim. It was the chait of the Meraglim which took place in the Midbar. The chait of the Meraglim caused that Kadosh Baruch Hu was angry, and therefore the northern wind didn't blow. The first should speak out that could be the nuance between Rashi and Taisa. The Gemara's Lashon just was a couple lines ago, Kol Eisin Abraham Shana. All 40 years they're in the Midbar, the northern wind didn't blow. We know that the Eagle took place before they went into the Midbar, and therefore it's all 40 years. But the Meraglim took place in the second year. Meraglim took place after they were in the Midbar. Meraglim took place while they're in the Midbar, in 1 year. That's when it took place. And then they were given the Besura after Meraglim came back with the bad news, and everyone cried that they're going to now stay in the Midbar for a total of 40 years. But you don't have 40 years of after the Chet Meraglim, only 39 years, and maybe that's why Rashi didn't like Taisa's Pshat. Okay. Amra Papa, Hilduch Yamed de Eva, Vyamed de Shusa, Lemalinle. Unbelievable. Therefore, we shouldn't do a Mila on a day which is cloudy. You don't get the starkest sun. Or on a day we have these big winds. Again, it's too cold. You don't get the sun, the healing properties of the sun. You don't you don't do milah b'day, filim esmina b'day, nor should you let blood. It used to be more common practice of letting blood. Don't let blood on those days either. Says Marva, idna d'dashu b'rabim, but now that everyone ignores this, we do milah even on days that are cloudy, even on days that are windy. Shemir p'sayim Hashem. Here's a major concept. Hashem protects the p'sayim, the pesi, the simple people. Hashem protects them. I mean, we should be more careful, but now that we're not, it's so to speak, force HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand, not going to have people being harmed left and right because they don't watch it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, changes the nature and the people are protected even though they don't have this mila of the sun being in its proper form of shining. The Rishonim do discuss that perhaps, there's a Chuz Tikkun Ritva that discusses that perhaps if it's a cloudy day and a person says, I don't want to do mila today because it's cloudy, he has a right to say that. We have to just do Maris Hashem B'Sayim Hashem means if one the tzibur at large doesn't keep it, they're still protected. It doesn't mean that a person who wants to be careful should not be careful. And furthermore, it could be Negi on Shabbos. Is it Deich HaShabbos? If the Iker Din is that you're not supposed to do meal on a cloudy day, we just do it anyway, and therefore we have protection. We're not supposed to. So maybe on Shabbos, we shouldn't be doing Mila, because a meal on Shabbos on a cloudy day, not every Shabbos, but on a Shabbos that's cloudy or windy, so if it's not, maybe today's not really the really thicker day, so it could be, shouldn't be Deich HaShabbos. L'maisa, of course, we're not like that. We're not, that we don't take into account cloudy or windy at all. We do Mila, we do it even on Shabbos, on the day, and we rely on Shemir B'Sayim Hashem. This idea of Shemir B'Sayim Hashem, of course, comes up very much. It's a big discussion in the Mefarshim, but there got to be other health matters. There got to be smoking. Big shalos in the place for many days already about smoking. You actually have going back as far. It's actually pretty phenomenal because back then they didn't realize nearly have an information how dangerous it is, and it was becoming a very common practice already. The Chafetz Chaim writes that smoking should be usher because of the danger. Chafetz Chaim passed away almost 100 years ago. He writes that it's dangerous, it should be usher. However, many places came afterwards said it was mutter. Again, very much so, maybe before the most modern scientific numbers came out about the correlation between smoking and the dangers that it brings. But Rashi's a famous tshuva where he speaks about eating unhealthy foods, and he speaks about smoking, and he applies the concept of Shemir B'Sayim Hashem. He applies the concept of Shemir B'Sayim Hashem that we see people live long lives and are still healthy in spite of the fact that they smoke, in spite of the fact that they eat unhealthy foods. And he says, the chayr, we can apply, it's being done by masses, and you can apply it. It's not, and you see people that don't do these things and still get the same illnesses that others get. And therefore, even if it's not recommended per se, but Shemir B'Sayim Hashem would apply our Mishnah on both smoking and on fatty foods. Again, a lot of the Paiskim, I shouldn't say a lot, but some of the Paiskim want to say our Mishnah Shuvah was also written in the, I think it's in the 60s, or back in the 60s, maybe the 70s. Again, he was nifter in the 80s, but it was before they had even more and more information about the danger. Maybe that psak would change based on the new information, perhaps. Okay. Says my friend, talk about him. The 40 years that Klai Yisrael was in the Midbar, even the 40 years in the Midbar, we're saying the northern wind didn't blow, there wasn't a time that it didn't blow, it always blowed once, at least B'chatzis Laila. It was B'chatzis Laila, and Hashem hit all the B'chayrim, Hashem hit all the B'chayrim in the land of Mitzrayim. Okay, my Talmud, what's the connection? That there's a concept called Eis Ratzon, but what we're teaching us about the northern wind blowing at night, is teaching a concept that Eis Ratzon is a real thing. And just like Bechatzais was Eis Ratzon in order to knock out the Bechayrim Mitzrayim, Makas Bechayr took place then, so too it's Eis Ratzon. If you jump into Rashi, Eis Ratzon, we'll see, jump into Rashi, right? It's Rashi about 10 lines down at the top of the page in Rashi. The Kivin, first middle line Rashi. The Kivin, the Chatzais, Halayla Eis Ratzon Avi, the Makas Bechayrus, Havinami Eis Ratzon, the Ruchzifainis. And that's a message that persons take for other things as well. That the Chatzais was considered an Eis Ratzon. It was Makas Bechayrus. It was an Eis Ratzon also for the Ruach, the northern wind to blow. And we know, we have the Gemara famously in Brachas, Rashi goes on to quote, that David HaMelech used to use this wind blowing at night. He had a harp on top of his bed, and when the harp would make a noise, a sound from the wind blowing, this northern wind blowing, he knew, it's Chatzais. David HaMelech would go to sleep shortly before Chatzais. He didn't sleep that much, and he'd get up at Chatzais and stay up and learn and recite to different tefillahs all the way till the morning, till davening time. He was upbraiding from Chatzais. And how did he wake up with this wind blowing, hitting the harp near his bed? Amar Avuna. Dvar Torah. Back to the topic of Mila and Aril eating tshuva. Dvar Torah, Minat Torah, Mashach Eichel B'tshuva. What if someone is Mashach? Mashach means he schleps up his skin around the member to cover over the atar again. So basically, sometimes Rashi also explains that sometimes it happens by itself. The person gets sick and it causes the skin to become more loose and it covers the atar. The point is, instead of, he may have done Mila, there was Mila ready and there was a Priya ready. But now the skin is recovered as if there's Arla there. It looks like there used to be actually a practice of people who wanted to look like Goyim, they would actually purposely schlep it up. They would purposely schlep it up to make themselves look like Arelim. That's what they used to do. But over here, we're talking about a case where either did on purpose or happened by itself. What's his status like being truma? Says Rav Huna, he had a mila. He had a bris mila. He can eat truma min adin min atayra. However, midivrayim gazralav, mashachayich b'truma. Midivrayim gazralav, midivrayim, midrabban neogazer, midrabban neogazer, midrabban neogazer, because he looks like an aral. That's why neogazer, min atayra, can eat truma. Mace faced my question from a brisa. Mashach sarach shimel, a mashach haska mila. Sounds like he cannot eat truma. He needs to do another mila again. Says Mar, no, it means midrabbanon. It means he needs to do mila midrabbanon. The Mar says even further, the lashon sarach shimel. It doesn't say chayiv shimel, it's sarach shimel. With the karlo makarlo, you have a mina hatzarich tani. Lashon tzarich is taka mashpitz only derabanan, not deraisa. So, which is exactly where Rav Huna said that midraisa you need midraisa is fine. Midrabanan you need to do it al tnei karlo, but that's only midrabanan. So that's what he said. That fits with what was you having to ask from tzarich? He says Gemara. The one who asked the question made a mistake from the end of that same verse, which says, he shouldn't do that mila because it's a sakana for him. There were many people that did these milas in the days of Ben Kuzivia, these kind of second milas were called. And they gave birth to Banam Banas. Shenemar, like it says in the pasuk, yimol yimol, afilu me'apamim, even 100 times. If the skin keeps growing back there, yishtu mila, and we darshan yimol yimol to be even 100 times. Va'emer, another pasuk to back it up is brisi hefer, the rabbis of mashach. It says it's brisi hefer, the rabbis of mashach. They made for a bris, which comes to include again the mashach that is a chiyuv of doing a mila. So therefore, because there was a conversation where they brought psukim to back up the idea they need to do a mila on a mashach, so he thought from that part of the brisa it should be a raya that is deraisa. My va'emer, the merchant says, What is the if you tell me the first drasha we said which means mash multiple milas is the rabbi sits on akvas mila, that just comes to include the original sits in the original strands, the shreds of the foreskin that remained that passel the mila to begin with, not when the full mila was done and then some skin grew up or was schlepped up over the area again. Tashimas bc hafer l'rabbis amashach. So we have a more clear raya that comes to include not just a meal that wasn't full. It comes to include the mashach. Says the Gemara now, who savar mitgaras l'ashas kra. Since the braisa brings psukim, like he spoke out these psukim we just quoted, so he thought it's mamish deraisi v'lohi, but rather midrabanan milis derabanan v'kos machta ba'alma. The simple reading of the psukim seemed to indicate that it's deraisas simple reading of the braisa himo yimo and esprisi hafra the rabbis mashach. These seems like real drushas, and therefore that was where the question was coming from, not from the first part of tzarech. The question was coming from the second part of the braisa, that the answer still is the same answer, that it's only midrabanan and the psukim are asmachta ba'alma. Again, so Rav Huna holds that the mashach is only is chayav midrabanan to get rid of the arla, the mashach arla, the fake arla, in order to eat truma midrabanan. Ask the Gemara now. So first of all, ask that is drabanan, maybe it's deraisa. We deflect. Now the Gemara's go the other way. Meisvei, meaning the Gemara's ask that it should be totally mutter. Hatumtum ain't eichel b'truma. Tumtum can I eat truma? We had that in the Mishnah. Nashav adav eichlim. Is this we're quoting over here at Price, by the way? But we did have that in the Mishnah. Nashav adav eichlim, his wife. Well, here's the key words. Nashav typically sounds like his wives. But we'll see, we're going to touch it now as his women. I'm touching that away on purpose. His women and his slaves, the Vadim, Eichlim, they could eat Shuma. Mashach v'nail kishumal. What if he was Mashach? He slapped up the skin. Or he was born as a Gemalta, which still requires some sort of act of Tafasar Brismas. Machoikis, we had about that. Harei Elu Eichlim, they're still allowed to eat Shuma. They're not Arul. Harei Eichlim, this is black and white. Mashach can eat Shuma. Doesn't say anything about getting rid of it, doing another mila, just as he can eat chuma, as is. That's the kash already. Andragonus echo b'chuma, andragonus can eat chuma, vein echo b'kachim, andragonus can eat chuma, but he cannot eat kachim, tumtum ein echo b'leib chuma, b'leib kachim, and tumtum cannot eat chuma, or tumtum cannot eat chuma, or kachim. We already said it in the Braisa, the first words, tumtum ein echo b'chuma, nashav avadav, his wives, and his avadav can, but he can't eat chuma. Now we repeat, a tumtum can't eat chuma. The Marzen asked shortly why we repeat that line about a tumtum not eating chuma or kachim. Tani mias. But what do you see? Mashach v'neilad kishumal hareil eichlin, a mashach or neilad, someone that's born with a meal already, or a mashach, one who slept on the skin, is able to eat truma. Very clearly, it doesn't seem like you need to do anything to enable to eat truma. Maybe it's a mitzvah to still get rid of it, but to eat truma, you don't need it. Says Mar Tiftar Funa Tiftaka. This price is a clear raya against Rav Huna. This price is clear that even midrabanan he doesn't have to do this mila on the mashach in order to teach Yuma. He can teach him right away. Maybe there's still a mitzvah. Again, the smachta ba'almas, himal timal, and the other psukim we quoted, there's a chib derabanan to get rid of this mashach, but it doesn't preclude him from eating chuma. So we have a kasha, we have a stira, a shlagup on Rav Huna. Amamar. His wives and his avadim are able to eat chuma. Ask the Gemara, how does tumtum have a wife? He can't have a wife. We don't know what his gender is. We don't know if he, tumtum means that the gender, the area is covered over with skin. So we don't know if he's a male. How can he have a wife? He may be a woman. Says the Gemara, and even if you tell me, okay, so we're not sure what he is. He's a kedushin. He's a kayan. We're allowing, he can't eat chuma. We're allowing his quote unquote wife to eat chuma. That means we're viewing the marriage as a vade marriage. We don't know what his status is. How on earth can we let his wife eat chuma if he's a woman? Turns out they were never married. Elam with the kaddish. If you see the cases where he was Mekadosh and Isha, it's Anya, Tumtum, Shekidosh, Kedushin, Kedushin. We learned in the Brisa, Tumtum does Kedushin, the Kedushin takes effect. Neskadosh, Kedushin, Kedushin, and similar, if he is Neskadosh, if he takes the place as the woman in the Kedushin, the fight takes effect. Emar da Amar, we have somewhere else with the Zach Lashon. Emar da Amar L'chumra. We've only said that the Kedushin takes effect by a Tumtum, L'chumra, for Chumra purposes. We say we have to be Chayshish, that the Kedushin is a Kedushin L'chumra. But tell me that Lakula, mi aminan, do we say Lakula to enable, let's say, this spouse, if we treat him like the man, to enable a spouse to eat truma, would we say that? Safak Isha, Venish Mekadash Isha. At the end of the day, he's a Safak Isha, and Isha certainly cannot be Kadash Isha. What's going on over here? Amar Baye, Kisha Beitzim, the cover of Bechlitz. He's a tumtum that the member is covered up, but it's very noticeable that there's Beitzim there, so it's very clear he's a man. So we know he's a man, but his Beitzim, the member is covered up. This discussion in Taishas, even so, in that case, still can't have a marriage. How can you consummate a marriage? L'chayr, it's not a marriage that's fit for Bia. Okay, it's a discussion. Ayin Shem Taishas. Okay, Rav Amar Rav says, but the first answer is, we know he's a male. That's the case. Tuptim, we know, it's talking about a case, Tuptim was Beitzim of a nicker, and therefore, the testicles were a nicker, and therefore, we know he's a male. Rav Amar, my Nasha, what does Nasha mean? This is why before we teach Nasha funny, we said Nasha can mean wife, it's simple to teach, or Nasha can mean his women. Over here, Nashka doesn't mean his wife. You know what it means? Imai means his mother. And what that means is his mother is able to teach him. We know she's a Bas Yisrael. She married a Kayan. She gave birth to this Tumtum. So the fact that she has offspring, a Tumtum enables her to be still part of, that's her husband's gone, part of the bias of the Kayan, and she could continue to teach Yuma on account of having this son. Ask him our Imai Pshita. Why would I think that Tumtum does not enable the mother to teach Yuma? It's an offspring. Why would it not enable to teach Yuma like all the case we had earlier? I would have thought that maybe a child that itself can give birth can create further. Such a child lets the mother eat truma, but a child that itself can't produce children with tumtum right now. Certainly, when the member is covered, can't produce children. So maybe will not enable the mother to eat truma. Kamashma that even a tumtum enables the mother to eat truma. So according to this Taicha Rava, the word tumtum, the word nashav in the brisa means his mother, not his wife. Itaka cannot enable his wife to eat truma because we don't know if it's a proper marriage. Tashima. The Gemara brings a raya to Abaye's Taich and against Rava. A tumtum cannot eat. This is the end of the very same brisa. A tumtum cannot eat kachim or chuma. Bishop Labaya, according to Abaya, we're bothered with the repetition. We put that before. It already said in the first line of the brisa that tumtum cannot eat, but avada v'nashav could eat. So according to Abaya, we can explain the repetition. Tana Resha Aral Vadai. The Resha teaches a case where he's Vadai and Aral. Uktani Seif is Safik Aral. And the Seif Toma Safik Aral. I mean, the Resha is talking about a case with the Beitz and Manikar. He had an Aisha, he had Nashav, so the Beitz and Manikar, so he's a Vadai Aral because the member is covered, so he can't get to the meal yet, but he is certainly, he's a Vadai. He's a Vade male, and therefore a Vade Aral. And the Seif was talking about a case where it wasn't noticeable if he's a male, Bechlal or not. He's just a Tumtum. And we're teaching you in the Seif that even a Safik Aral also is unable to eat Truma. El Rava, according to Rava, that the Reisha also was talking about a case where everything was fully covered, the Beitzim were nicker, Rava didn't agree to buy his teretz. So the Reisha is already talking about a Suffolk Aral, it's talking about a Tumtum as a Suffolk Aral, and doesn't and not allow him to eat. What's the Seifa being Maisif? Tumtum the Seifa, Lamali, what's the addition of Tumtum in the Seifa? Answers Gemara, my Tumtum, what does Tumtum mean in the Seifa? It's really just a fancy way of saying Aral. Tumtum in the Seifa is a fancy way of repeating Aral. Ask the Gemara, that's a chiddush. Hash to suffik aral for the reisha. A suffik aral leachol keni chuma. Vada aral achol would have happened to the vada aral kuri chuma. What would be the point? You're not helping matters. We ask what's the repetition of saying a tumtum keni chuma in the safe of the brisa when we're already saying the reisha the brisa. We're answering safe of the brisa means an aral. Well, the whole reason why tumtum keni chuma is because he's a suffik aral. So for sure, an aral keni chuma. How's it help? The question, what's the chiddush of the Seifa? Says, Ma Tam Gamar. You're right. It's not a chiddush, it's more of an explanation. Ma Tam Tumtum in Echel B'chuma, Mesha Safik Aralu, the Aral in Echel B'chuma, like a Pekacha. That's how you have to read the Brisa. What the Brisa really meant to be saying is, even though it employs Lashon of Tumtum, what the Brisa really meant to be saying is that a Tumtum, he can't eat but his wife and children could eat. And then the end of the Brisa saying, why can't a Tumtum eat? Because he's a Suffolk Earl, and an Earl can't eat. And that was just saying, matter of factly, Tumtum can't eat Truma. Where Kachem was a fancy way of saying, Earl can't eat Truma Kachem, and that's the Matam for the race. It's interesting, Matam, if he uses the Lush of Tumtum, not Lush of Earl, but that's really, that's the meaning over there, is explaining the general din of Earl. Okay, now getting back to Rav Huna Shaila. Rav Huna said that a Mashach is Asa Midra, Banat eat Truma, but Midaraisa can eat Truma. But Midaraisa is Asa Rav Huna. We brought a Kasha from Bryce that said clearly, that the Bryce clearly seemed to say, that he could eat, no problem. He could eat, he still said, there's a chiv to do a mila, but he still could eat Truma, no problem. That was the shlug up on Rav Huna from a different Bryce. And now we're going to say that Rav Huna's din is actually a machlekes tanai, lemek tanai. Mashach, and in parentheses, vinelet she kashumal. A mashach, and one that was nailed, gemalot. Vigeshas gaya kashumal, or a ger that was megar when he really was gemalot, the katan shavar, zmanir katan, who the time for the Mila had passed, meaning he's passed the eighth day. Ushaka the Mum and others that are supposed to get Mila. Now, what does that come to include? What's this case of Shaka the Mum? The Mar just jumps in the middle of the Brisa. Lasuya Mishesh Lashte Arelis. That comes to include someone who has two Arelis. If he grew one on top of the other, so including that case is included in this Shark Kol Hanimulim. What's the halacha? Ain't in the mulim el biyim. The mila takes place only by day. That's the Tanakama. Mila is supposed to be take place by day. Uvayim mashmini yimab b'sar. Also, this is the famous idea that the chayyur according to this mila would be a misasishas by grama. Okay, mila takes place by day. Ablazer Reb Shimon Eimer Bizmanai. Reb Shimon says as follows: Bizmanai, when it's being done on the eighth day, ain't in mulim el biyim top of base. You're not going to do the mila by daytime. Shalai Bizmanai, once you do the mila after the eighth day, then the Mulam Bayam Uvalaila, then you do mila both by day and night. You can do mila by day and night once you're past the eighth day. So now, what's the machlekes? My lab da hakumifli. The machlekes is the mar savar mashach deraisa. Tanakam holds that the case of mashach is deraisa, and therefore there's an obligation on a meal deraisa to do it by day. Umar said that's one of the cases we listed in the Mishnah that needs to have a mila a mashach. Umar said mashach rabban and Rishimon holds that mashach is rabbanan, therefore it's okay to do it even at night. Maybe that's the machlekes in Braisa. So our discussion whether you need the mashach needs a mila is whether it's a Raisa or rabbanan is machlekes tanakama and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon v'tizbara says more. 1 second, does that make sense? Is that the machlekes? Aye. Katan shav esmane miyik lamad amid rabbanan. Is that anyone says that a katan past the eighth day who didn't have a mila yet bechlal that the obligation for mila is only rabbanan? Meaning, if you're going to make the machlekes whether you can do the mila after the eighth day at night or by day, telling this idea whether it's Rabbana Deraisa, everyone agrees the Mila of a Katan on day 10 or day 12, for some reason it wasn't done until that point, it's still a Mila Deraisa, that certainly should have to be done by day. So that can't be the Pesach of the Machlekes. El Kama Mashach Darabanan, I'll tell you, everyone agrees the Mashach is a Din Darabanan. The Katan Shav is Mani Deraisa. And a Katan of his Mani is Deraisa. So what's the Machlekes then? Hachabakamifuki Marasav Darshin Uvayayim, Umarasav Lodashin Uvayayim. How Machlekes is to be Darshin the Vav of Uvayayim? A Yamashmini, they agree, supposed to be the eighth day by day, not by night. But does the Vav of Vayim say that even after the eighth day, or even in these other scenarios, still has to be Dafka by day, or Dafka the eighth day, and outside? That's the Machlek, has nothing to do with whether the Mashiach is Rabbanan or Darais. The Mar says, Kiha, Yosef, Rabbi Yechanan, the Kadarish Bechon was sitting, and he was Darshi as follows, Nasef is Mane, Halach is Nasir, in its time, Ein Nisrif Elabiyim. Nasir, when it's left over, like it really means like the first day that it became nicer, as Rashi explains, that's what it means in its time. Nicer by definition means it wasn't eaten in its time, it was left over past its time, but that first day that it's nicer, halacha is, and in Nisrif al-Biyam, it's burnt only by day. Shleim is Mani, once it's past that first day, Nisrif al-Biyam, it can be burnt side by day, side by night. Vesir b'lazer Rabbi Yechanan, Ein li al-Nimel, Shmini, She'nimel, El-Biyam. Rabbi Elazar said to Rabbi Yechanan, he asked with a Bryce as follows, I only know, the Bryce says like this, I only know the eighth day means on the eighth day. How do you know that subsequent days also have a din to do mila? It says the pasuk uvayayim of afilu mandamar b'leiv darash vav. Even remember we had a couple of bottles of machlekes Rabbi Kiva Nachumim whether darash vav or not. Even mandamar does not darash vav. Vav hey darash. Vav hey. We certainly would darash. Even though darash vav alone, you would darash vav hey. What's vav hey? Uvayayim is not vav hey. It's only vav. It means vahaneser. Again, this price is a continuation of the discussion about Nasir, whether Nasir can be burnt by day and by night, or it's got to be burnt dafka by day. So he's tying that by Nasir you have the pasuk of Veha Nasir. Veha Nasir is not just a vav, it's a vav hey. So therefore, it should be burned even after the day of Nasir. It should only be burned by day, not by day and by night. Ishtik, but we see the source of this machlekes being whether they make a drasha uvayin. Okay, ishtik. So Bechem was quiet with this taina. Basa Tanafik, after Blaz left, Amalei Bechem Yishlakish Reis Le Bempedas Sheyesha V'Derish Kemeisha V'Yagvura. I've seen Bempedas, we write for Blaz Bempedas, who is darshening and these psukim, like coming out from Moshe Rabbeinu's mouth, from the Pia Gvura, from the mouth of the Gvura of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Amish Lakish Didei. It's a very nice drasha they just did, but it's not his own. Masisi, it's not his own drasha, this type of drasha. It's a braisa. What price is talking about? Answers, it's a price in Teres Kanem. It's a price. So it's a very nice drasha. You're right. And he's dashing it beautifully, but it's not his own drasha. It's a brasik in Teres Kanem. They just darshan. So after Bechon heard this, Nafak, Tanya, Beklas, Yam, Bechon went out and he learned the 3 days. 3 days. Plus, young went to 3 days, and he went through Teres Kanem back and forth. The Savra Betlasa Yarchi, and he fully comprehended it in three months. So he learned up all the information. This idea of learning the Bekiah stick in 3 days, getting all the info, and then he had it fully comprehended by the end of 3 months. But the point is that this same type of drush that we made about Uvayayim, Shmini by Mila is Gufa the Machlekes by Vanei. So we see a raya to that explanation. It's a raya to the explanation we gave and Machlekes Tanayim by Mila, whether it's by day only, even Nashlebes Mano, or also by night. Whether Dashin of Yaim is the same type of Machlekes from we have Vaneiser and the Amaram / even Tanayim do connect the two. Okay, Amar Blazer Aral Shehiza. This is back to the din of Aral that the Azah took place. The Azah of Paraduma waters took place while he was still an Aral. Hazasek Shera. So we said yesterday in the end of yesterday's daf, we said that Azah on the Aral is kosher. Now we're saying, what if the Azah performed the sprinkling? What if he performed the sprinkling? So Amar Blazer Aral Shehiza. He did the Azah. Halacha is Azah is kosher. The Azah is kosher. Midav Yatvilayim. It's similar to a Tvilayim. Shafisha Asa Betruma. Even though Tvilayim himself is Asa Betruma, kosher Bapara. He's kosher to the Parah. We used to actually purposely be Mitama, the Kayan, Haserif is a Parah. Make him go, become Tame, and then become Tar as a Tvilayim. Lahitzi Melibisha Stukim, right? That was the famous idea. That was part of the reason why he had all those chumras by the Paraduma. Because since we had the leniency, Lahitzi Melibisha Stukim, to do this, to make him Tame, we would do all these chumras to be extra careful for other, in other senses, to make sure everything's Batar. But the point is, just like a Tfilayim could do the Paraduma, so too an Aral who's still waiting to complete his process to be able to eat Truma, even though he's an Aral now, not only could he do that on him, he could do that on someone else. Says Gemara, Mal Tfilayim shekei mutter b'maiser, not so fast. Tfilayim is able to eat Maiser, an Aral can Aral eat Maiser. Says Gemara, are we talking about allowing the Aral to eat the Paraduma and on the Negiah Kamiran? We're talking about the Aral being able to touch it, to be able to do the sprinkling. So from that we can make a comparison. Ma Tfilayim she'asur b'negiah b'truma. Tfilayim who's asur negiah of truma yet mutter b'para. Ma Tfilayim who can't even touch truma is mutter b'para. Aral she'mutter b'negiah. We don't find anyway that Aral touching truma makes a problem. Certainly in addition she'mutter b'para, he's mutter to touch to do the paraduma, the sprinkling. And don't be miraya that Tfilayim is mutter b'mayis sheni and Aral's asur, because we're not talking about eating. The guy be eating, maybe Tfilayim is more lenient than an Aral, but the guy be touching Truma, Tfilayim is clearly more chumer than an Aral, so the guy be touching Paraduma, it makes sense that the Tfilayim is able to do it, so certainly an Aral could do it. Tanya Me'achvi, attack of a Bryce, back of this sack of a blazer. Aral, she's an Aral that did Hazah, Hazah Sekshir, the Hazah Sekashir, Maisa Hayah, the sack of the story, Vechshir Chum Hazah, and the Chumim were Machshad Hazah. Meis Fiyas Marakasha, Tumtum Shekidish, a Tumtum that was Mekadish Paraduma waters, Kitu Shep Puzzle, Kitu Shep Puzzle. A Tumtum that was Mekadish Paraduma waters, it doesn't work, it's possible, Meishu Safik Aral, because he's a Safik Aral. The Aral Puzzlekadish, he's a Safik Aral, and the Aral's Puzzle to Mekadish the waters, meaning to put the ash of the paraduma into the waters. Aral is possible from doing that. Andragin is kiddush. Andragin is that does the kiddush. Kiddush is kosher. The kiddush is kosher. Vida Yemer Vida says, Af Andragin is kiddush. Kiddush is psalm. Either Andragin is who does it, the kiddush is possible. Why? Meishas tafik isha. Isha psalm mekadosh. Because tafik is isha, and isha is possible being mekadosh to paraduma waters. Tani miyab. What do you see? Aral v'safik aral possible mekadosh. Very clearly, you see that aral v'safik aral is possible from being mekadosh the paraduma waters. Not like what we're saying, that he can sprinkle the waters and it's fine. Amr Basif, Hai Tanatana Rabbi Akiva, he this Tanatana Rabbi Akiva, the Marbile La Earl Katame, who treats the Tanatana Rabbi Akiva, treats an Earl like a Tame, and therefore when he touches the Paraduma waters, he passes it. The Tanya went to the Baisa, Rabbi Akiva, Aimer, Ish Ish, the Rabbis Earl, he learns the Ish Ish that talks about Tzeru Ezov, it comes to Marba, the guy being Jum over there, it comes to Marba, that's Rabbi Akiva Shita, this is right in the beginning of the parrot, and this is a source that Earl Kanani Chuma, that same source is says Lashon Ish to include the Aral, so it includes Aral that he's not able to eat Chuma. And by saying he can't eat Chuma, we're assuming it means also that he's like a tummy, right? Aral is a tummy, the tummy also can't eat Chuma, and therefore the guy by Paraduma waters, we're saying he's like a tummy, it would pass Paraduma waters. That's what we're explaining, that Brysa goes according to that Shita, but Rabbi Lazar doesn't have to subscribe to that Brysa. Amar Rava says, one second, I see the guy by Rabbi Yisrael, I see for Reb Yosef Akasha Lian, and I was bothered by this question. I mean, Reb Yosef gave this answer. I was sitting there, and we just quoted from Reb Yosef. I was sitting there, and I was bothered. Lo Lisham Mitan of listening to Arav Atame Leim Reb Akivi. It was bothering me that the Tana shouldn't have left out the case of Arul and Tame, and then I would have chapped Reb Akiva, meaning he should have spoken out very clearly Arul and Tame passel by the Paradum waters. It should have spoken out lumped together Arul and Tame, and then I chapped Reb Akiva. Why did he leave it? Why did he leave it out? And I wouldn't have chapped the Tana Reb Akiva. I would have made a mistake. Says Gemara, V'loi Vaktani Arul and Tame Patur Menariya. We find that it does say Arul and Tame are putter from Ria. So therefore, the Gemara is bothered that the Gemara is answering. We do find that this case is where the Tana does put together this idea of connecting Arul and Tame. It does put together the idea of connecting Arul and Tame elsewhere out of the context of Truma. It's putting together Legabe Re'i as well. So to over here, Legabe Paraduma, same thing. The Gemara says, Hashem Shem Demayas. No, over there it's a separate issue. Arul is exempt from Re'i because he's Mayas. It's not a Raya that he's exempt because he has a Din of Tumah. So you have no clear Raya that the Tana takes on all over that we treat an Arul like a Tame. And therefore, if the Pshat and the Braisa is that Gongar Bekiva and the Arul is puzzled by Paradum waters because he's like a Tame and goes like a Bekiva, the Braisa should have spoken out because Stamazay, we don't automatically assume that connection. Says the Gemara of Azul Tamayu, they go according to their, it's a little late, we'll stop over here. I'm sorry, Leon, I'm going to leave you off to catch up a little bit, a couple of lines. Have a wonderful day.